This is the Beyond Spacecast. This is Aaron Salazar, alongside my wonderful co-host Jeffrey Jackson. This is
Beyond Space. Wonderful. What's up, man?
Is that a good word for you?
That's fine.
All right,
I'll take it.
I was gonna say dashing or handsome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should restart.
I do. Wonderful is a blanket statement. That's just inside and out.
All right.
How's it going, man?
It's going, man. Yeah. We're doing something a little different on this week's show.
Yeah, we're mixing it up. I think it was after the back-to-back, I don't know what we call the last two episodes, because they were recorded back. They were kind of off-kilter.
Different?
Yeah.
They were fun.
They were fun, yeah.
If you didn't hear them, it was with Josh and Josh Bowserman from Intern Divine came over, and yeah. He did two episodes, and that was cool.
Yeah, we were recording for like 2.5 hours, more or less.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. But as podcasting go, it was kind of all over the place, which is fun for us. But for the listeners, you never know.
Yeah, well, I had a good time. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I listened back to it. I didn't think it came out too terrible.
No, not at the moment. We were looking at each other like, what the fuck did we just do? People are going to be here. This is on the internet now.
Yeah. Well, and this week we're trying to do something a little different. Aaron's hosting the show, is what I was getting at, and he already said fuck in the first 5 minutes of the show, so cool. He's already doing a good job.
It was subtle up until you said it.
I'm just trying to point out some of your subtle...
That's cool.
Blowing up. Wonderful ambiance. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well... let's talk about our music.
Let's talk about it, dude.
All right. Well, we are how many songs deep right now? Four? Five, maybe?
I have no idea. I think we talk about that on the show a lot, but
it's just a mixed bag.
We've got a lot of stuff that's like halfway.
In the works, yeah. Well, because we basically have all the music done for most of them. And then we just have to do vocals and keys, guitars, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's also kind of doing the same process we've been doing for all the rest of the albums. We kind of have a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, we have a song that we did with our friend Mikey. That song that me and him did that we've talked about before on the podcast that we're gonna batch it with the other songs. That one's pretty close to being done.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good, too.
There's just a lot of structure writing and a lot of... we've got a lot of parts right now that just need to be put together. And I think we've shared a lot of those parts.
It's true.
What did we open the show with? I don't think we decided on what we were going to open the show with.
No, we didn't. Lately, I've been just opening up the clips of the new songs, so I might just do that again. I'm not sure which one. We could talk about it. We opened up with our newest last time.
Yeah.
Which was the dubstep-y, I call it Kevlar, but the name's going to change. But and then the last podcast, we opened with that dance song. So maybe mix it, maybe a little bit more low-key, a little bit more smooth.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Whatever you think.
What I'll try to do is, because we opened up a little bit smooth in the intro right here, maybe a smooth song into that, so it's kind of like a...
Alright, well, they already heard it, so...
Yeah, well...
They've already formed an opinion.
This is like time travel or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like talking...
Breaking the time-space continuum as we speak.
This is meta podcasting. We're breaking down the fourth wall.
We've done it before.
Yeah. There is no fourth wall.
We'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Anyway, well, now, what do you want to talk about?
Well, as far as like the music stuff goes,
yeah,
like,
music in general.
Like with this music stuff, like we've got a lot of growing to do. We've got a lot that's, like I said, just in pieces, and that I think we're gonna I got a lot of work to do this week, especially on writing vocals. So I'm probably going to be doing a lot of writing this week and working on trying to get some of these melodies down just right and get the structures on the song correctly.
I think kind of organically or naturally, these songs have kind of fit into a mold, or they're in the, not the same genre or whatever, but it's like they're all in the same vibe. So is that something you're thinking about coming in, or are you kind of just...
No, not necessarily. I never write about one particular subject because it's too difficult.
But like the tone of the writing, I guess I'm saying.
Well, I shouldn't say it's like too difficult, but I always write in the same tone, which is dark, and usually like I don't write on the light side of things because I use music to get shit off my chest. So like I'll usually... I'm doing the whole sniff, yeah. the cocky sniff. Yeah,
it's like Smith smelling your own brain. Should be wearing an ascot and wearing a freaking monocle or something.
Yeah. No, but just with the writing stuff, I don't really ever write. It's not that I write, most of the stuff I write is positive, but it's not. It usually comes through pretty dark.
It doesn't come, to me at least, it doesn't come across as pessimistic. Or done like that, because you don't want pessimism in your music, or quote unquote, like you were saying, you don't want hate or
If there's any message, it's like positive. Yeah,
exactly, uplifting, but you don't want to cover everything with roses, so to speak.
No, well, I just think like melody wise, I try to keep it down in like the darker areas.
Yeah,
and I've always liked just the darker music in general,
mm-hmm.
especially for this project.
Yeah. Well, because also this one, it's kind of goes up and down from song to song sometimes, and just in the song too. Just
like, yeah, but even that dubstep type song that we wrote, it still sounds like us, which I've showed it to a few people, and they say that it sounds like us, which is a big thing to me, is always keeping our style wrapped in there. And
yeah, but we never like paint ourselves into a corner like, all right, now we have to do this kind of, we don't write ourselves into a corner like, oh, we have to do this now.
Yeah, it's just the way that we write.
Like we have our natural musical inclinations, and it just comes out organically, like out of nowhere. The songs that we have all sound alike, but we never talked about that happening. It just kind of just happened.
Yeah, well, and that's what people would call their, you know, their style, quote unquote. Yeah. So
well, some people actually write, all right, we're going to make a hit right now. Or I'm going to write a happy song, and then I'm going to write a dark song.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the little trip that we took up to L.A. then.
All right. That was a good one. Or interesting one.
So lay it out, host.
All right. Well, okay, it was a week from today, and we went up to the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset to go see Spine Shank, which is a metal, I don't know, new metal band out of L.A. Yeah,
melodic metal.
Yeah, they surprisingly, the guy's voice held up pretty well after years of screaming. Not the worst I've heard.
I thought they were good. They were definitely rough around the edges.
It was the first time you saw them, right?
It was the first time I've seen them. You saw them a long time ago,
like 10 years ago.
So, but I don't know. I guess I expected a little bit more on the. When they did their clean, like his clean voice, I expected a little bit more melody wise, but.
Because that guy didn't fuck around processing either, where he wasn't like reverbing his shit, delaying his shit. He was just like straight up his voice.
Oh, there was some kind of delay on there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
He, from what Josh had said in the past, he wasn't using stuff in the past, but I definitely heard it there.
It might, if he wasn't using it in the past, it might have been the whiskey's kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when our friend Josh, an intern of mine, played a whiskey. They put some stock delay on his shit. Like, this, do it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where the singers have no say, or the bands have no say.
Sometimes it helps just with the way that the venue is shaped. So the people that own the venue know that.
I mean, those sound guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, for the most part, yeah.
Well, the whiskey, at least.
It's just how much they care.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, the guy that was up running sound was, like, playing on his iPhone.
Exactly, and the person working the lights was, like, going up.
I saw him, like, mocking the band and, like, joking around with their friends and stuff, but... That's not the story that we're
getting. No, but it was like the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
So it was a good show, and we drove up with Josh, and we met one of his friends. What was his name?
Well, I don't think we want to bring names into
it. Anyways, it was an older gentleman that's been in Hollywood for a while. And like anybody that's in Hollywood for a while, they have stories and they have opinions.
They've got strong opinions.
Yeah, well, usually, I mean, you don't want to be too generic, but Hollywood has a propensity to have a lot of douchebags around.
Yeah.
Put it that way. So, you know, douchebags beget douchebags. So if you're in Hollywood for a while, the kind of douchebag kind of rolls downhill.
Yeah.
And the bravado and the puffing out the chest, stuff like that. So when we, after the show, we went to hang out at some guy's place, and we just heard an earful about how the industry works and how music works, which what we've said, we've talked about before. Art can't, isn't really defined. Music shouldn't be defined, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, this guy, he writes a music blog which helps out musicians. And when I say helps out, I write, you know, say that with quotation marks.
Yeah. And, air quotes don't work on podcasts.
Yeah, well, we got to come up with something that we
got to just a sound effect or something.
Here's a tangent on that same subject. We got to come up with something in texting that you can, like a sarcasm symbol.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be beneficial?
You don't tell me. You know how many times I've been misunderstood because of sarcasm?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Total tangent, but needed.
Yeah. And, like, even if you, like all caps lock a word, people still don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, and I'm not wanting to write LOL or fucking JK at the end of this shit, because that's totally, it's like explaining a joke. Like, if I say, I'm being sarcastic right now after I say something kind of off-putting, it kind of takes the sting out of what I just said.
Yeah, it's really fucking annoying. Yeah. Anyways.
But this is a good tangent.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I really want to talk about this story, and I don't want to go off on tangents too much, especially after the last episode.
That's true. That was like a half hour tangent.
The whole last episode was a tangent. But, yeah, like, this guy, he really got, I don't know, like, I think he misunderstood something that I was saying, which I was saying that music shouldn't have a structure, and like he was more in the mindset that it should have a structure, and that it's scientifically always had a structure.
Yeah, it's like this. It has to be 120 beats per minute, C major.
Yeah, wah, wah, wah. I'm looking at things in the big picture. Like, like if you look at a table, like in the long, like this is a total mushroom deep way of looking at things. But if you look at a table, it's a piece of wood, right? And it's in that form right now. But like before that, it was a tree. And before that, it was a seed. And before that, it was, you know, different elements that came together to create that. And, you know, like, and after it's a table, it'll probably become something else. You know what I'm saying? In the long scope of things. So when you look at music as a whole and you go back to wherever music rooted from, which is within the soul of man or something, you know what I'm saying? If you want to get deep on it, like, and you think of like cavemen banging rocks together to make sound and making music, like, you know, Africans, like, you know, creating the instruments that they created and stuff like that.
Got you.
And you look at that, like, you can obviously see that, like, music doesn't have a structure. It's a flowing, changing thing over time. Like,
and it's totally objective, where some person will see a sea of music and they'll get a totally something out of it that the next person will either not get or go to a totally new different definition.
Yeah, and this guy was totally in the mindset that, like, in the small scope mindset, thinking definitely what the corporate mind would have you think. You
know? Yeah, I think... I mean, I'm not sure, but I think you were arguing the art sensibility.
Well, if you heard the last podcast, like the beginning of last podcast, I actually said I had a rant on that podcast, which was more or less exactly what I said to the guy. Almost verbatim is what I said to the guy, which is, you know, the whole art versus commerce. music and the industry. And I used a lot of like big kind of crazy conspiracy theory words like corporate America and, you know, like,
yeah, well,
stuff like saying that like these big giant companies and not really giving titles to things, but more like, you know,
you're speaking in generalities.
I'm talking about groups, you know, and so he was talking from his experience.
I think he was talking from the commerce angle. And you were talking.
He was definitely talking from the commerce angle.
I don't think he was. I think he was so jaded that he's like, all right, well, I have not been successful in the music industry, and I know I make good art. Every artist thinks they make good art for the most part.
Yeah.
So he was like, if I've been making good art and I haven't been making money and being successful, it must be the corporations. I must do what they're doing or what they're thinking, or else I won't be successful. I think he was arguing that point. I just think the artistic gene, whatever you want to call it, has left or something like that.
Yeah, but there's something to say because, like, the dude runs a website where he tells young musicians how to do stuff, you know? Yeah. And it's like, every man has that in them that they want to leave a legacy. We've talked about that on this podcast. Yeah. It's been talked about lots of different times. And it's just something that's in the I guess it's in any person. I shouldn't say man. It's in, yeah. It's in the human. When I say man, I mean the human species to like want to leave your mark on the earth, you know, and like have a legacy and stuff.
Not atheists.
Well, but what I'm saying is like, if you really think about it, everything's just flowing and changing. So like your mark on the earth is already there. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very totally deep way of looking at things. You want to leave something behind,
yeah, or your family.
But it's not nothing solid, you know what I mean? Like, in the big scope of time, nothing that you do, no matter how influential, if you're Elvis or anybody else that's super influential, your chance of lasting or the test of time is impossible.
No. Well,
scientifically, you know what I mean? Well, like, you can come to an end.
You can go really deep and say in 6 billion years, this all shit's going to be gone anyway. But
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that it's like, it's when you really look into it and like spiritually or whatever, look into it, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not, I'm looking at it in like this huge, broad way of looking at it. And I think that I just want to make music that's fun for me to create and not really try to abide by any of these, and I'm going to say it again, these corporate rules. But when I say that, I mean like, you know, a label will take you in and they'll show you this is what makes a hit. You know, you want to have a forward chord change and you want, you know, your chorus to hit right here and you want, you know, this track to be your, you know, soft track and you want this track to be your hit. And like a single is usually this amount of minutes. Like I want to just avoid all that stuff because I think the music industry in a whole is passing on a lot of that
stuff.
It's
changing. It's an amorphous thing. And also I think we spoke about it that night. Like it doesn't make it really mean a genre of music, but the spirit of rock and roll or rock is to those common rules, flip them on their head.
Yeah, like,
you should want to do that.
Yeah, like the Kinks, you know, they invented, yeah, practically invented, yeah, rock and roll by accidentally busting one of their amps, and that gave way to like a whole new distorted sound, yeah, of music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, exactly, like you're saying, like things aren't necessarily supposed to be done they're supposed to be done that way.
You want to be a contrarian or whatever you want to call it.
And I'll bet you if that dude was 17 and he looked at himself now, he'd fucking hate the dude he's become.
That's not even rare for music. That's in every profession.
And I don't want us to sit here and like make all our, you know, listeners think that we're just bashing.
No, we're doing pretty well with that. We're good.
He was a nice enough guy to invite us into his house and have discussion with us. He at least took my point of view and kind of came around a little bit later with like the whole artistic view. Mm. But like, I think he was stubborn, maybe a little drunk, and he wanted to just talk.
Yeah, well, I remember
he needed a podcast. Geez,
I had an argument with him that had nothing to do with music. I forgot what was it. Oh, it was about I don't know, one of those Hollywood starlets that went there is not going to jail. I was arguing like, this bitch should go to jail. She broke the law. He's like, no, she's too important to go to jail.
No, dude, I think you should definitely say her name, fucking, because that subject needs to be brought up, dude.
No, it doesn't.
Come on, man. He was arguing some bullshit.
Okay, anyway, dude, it was Lindsay Lohan, and she's not going to jail because she was a drunk driver. She got caught with coke.
Did she go to jail? I thought she did. No,
she's not.
She didn't go to jail.
No.
I thought like,
or she's going. She might eventually, but she's not in there right now.
At least during the point of this argument.
I'm not keeping up with it. I mean,
I think right now things may have gone further.
Anyway, but at the point. Besides the point, though, he was arguing that she should not go to jail. And that's kind of...
But say why.
Say why, because she's like, she's too important. She has too many people working under her, makeup people, the grips on the movies. She's a million-dollar industry.
He was saying that, like, you know, she's like, yeah, a huge piece of...
The society.
Yeah, and, like, she's contributing a lot of money to the community and, like, the economy and shit.
Yeah. Well, that's even to a bigger... Yeah, it's a bigger
thing. But you were looking on a bigger view, yeah, which was, what's right and wrong.
On a karmic level.
Like, yeah.
Rules, right or wrong, you still break them, you still got to pay for it. It doesn't matter if the rules are right or not, you still got to pay them.
Exactly.
You know, the guys in charge are guys in charge.
It's morals, man. It's ethics, you know? And it's like, man, just talk to somebody who's like fully unethical.
The thing is that kind of flips it on the head of what he was talking about with you with the commerce. Like, he was saying, all right, the rules are here yeah, with music. But when it comes to this lady and her drugs and the judges and stuff like that, she's like, the rules don't matter. That kind of, like, I'm thinking about it now, it seems counterbalanced right now, but at the time we were like, all right, cool, I'm going to read this magazine.
Yeah, like I said, it was a little bit of a drunken conversation anyway.
I mean, we get those all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold it against the guy.
Yeah, but it was an interesting conversation, yeah, nonetheless.
It was a fun night in general.
I think anytime I talk to anybody for an extended period of time, I learn something.
And whenever you talk about art or your art or whatever, you're going to get heated. I get like that too. I'm not even an emotional person.
Yeah, but so. You got to watch yourself. I think both of us watched ourselves and then pulled the cord at some point. Well, I just shut down.
I just bite my tongue.
And it's not that like we wanted to fight because it was right. It was like, this dude is not super influential. It's not like
we're both opinionated young men, and we like, sometimes we like to have our opinions made, but sometimes at least for my case, I say things, my filter between my brain and my mouth aren't that well sometimes.
Yeah, but maybe you pulled that cord because you know we got a podcast.
It's true.
You can come back and spout about it.
Yeah.
This is our weekly therapy session where we just talk mad shit on the people that pissed us off.
Yeah. The guy who cut me off earlier today fucking sucked.
Yeah. Blue Honda Accord. License plate. You are an asshole.
I'd like to take 5 minutes on the Chargers right now.
Take it, dude.
No, I'm not going to. I was joking.
You're hosting the show today. Take it.
All right, yeah, the Chargers broke. They're not breaking my heart. They do this every year.
Excuse me.
But whatever. I'm not exactly in tip-top shape this week. Because they are... What's it called? What's the saying called? Shitting the bed? Screwing the pooch?
I guess, that's what you say.
Yeah, it's a saying, you know.
We even talk about what yesterday was?
Oh, yeah, yesterday was... Well, do we want to... Yeah, yesterday was Halloween.
We always date the podcast, dude.
Do we?
Yeah. We talk about games and events.
Oh, that's true.
Currents. Yeah. I like it that way, because then we can go back and we'll be like, holy crap.
Little time capsule.
Look at what we thought about this. We were such idiots. Oh, I think we definitely have to give our disclaimer.
What? No.
No disclaimer this time?
It's like putting JK at the end of a sentence.
All right.
It's my opinion.
All right.
Anyways, last night was Halloween, and it was fun. We dressed up. We scared some kids. Scared the kid. I got a monkey. I had a monkey mask.
You're scaring kids?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I missed that.
I know. I was. I dressed up as Reservoir Dogs, not a specific character like Mr. Blonde, Mr. Black.
Not all the dogs.
No, not all the dogs. I was thinking, I have the hair from, or the facial hair of Mr. Pink, and then the suit, whatever. But anyways, I was like, this costume's cool, but I just dressed up in a suit. It's not that exciting. I found a monkey mask at the place we went. I was like, fuck yeah, a monkey mask. I'm wearing a monkey suit. I'm going to wear a monkey mask. And the monkey mask actually scared the shit out of some kids.
That was pretty fun. I bet.
Because the place where we went, it was up in PB La Jolla area. And the two guys that lived there, their brothers, Eric and Brian, they made their house all crazy, like all spooky. You know,
it was awesome.
All the pumpkins, the big devil, the graveyard, and everything like that. The kids like flocked there to get the candy because, you know, kids love that scary stuff.
Yeah, I missed
houses.
That because I think I caught like a few towards the end, and Eric was still out there scaring them.
Oh, they love doing that. They were getting into character even after all the kids left, and we were just chilling, drinking. Like Brian was still walking around trying to scare his mom and shit.
Brian walked around with his costume on all night, but yeah, he, I think he won the costume awards there. Yeah, his was the best.
He was Buckethead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just walked into KFC and got a thing of chicken, a bowl of chicken or whatever.
And Buckethead's real name is Brian too.
What? Really?
Yeah. And like the costume was just dead on.
Yeah.
I mean, he had it perfect. So it was cool. It was a good night.
Yeah.
I never seen their place before, but that they neither had the by, decorations yeah. down. They had a whole garden, and they grew something like 30-something pumpkins. They had like 18-plus carved in front of their house, so you could just imagine what the place looked like.
They got like a full garden in the back. They were growing like ghost peppers, tomatoes, lettuce, all that, carrots, I think. Oh, they're even growing pumpkins back there.
Yeah, that's what I just said. They grew all the pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Pineapples, sorry.
Pineapples?
Yeah, they had a pineapple back there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they bought a pineapple at the store, and they had a seed in the pineapple, so they just popped it in the ground. There's a pineapple growing.
Weird.
Yeah. Cool. Not exactly the, you know, I guess it is the weather for that. You know, Hawaii. Yeah. Hawaii's not that much different.
Well, that's right next to the water.
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii's a little bit more humid, but, you know, same thing.
Nice and moist.
Have you ever been to the pineapple fields over in Hawaii?
No.
They're ridiculous.
I've never been to Hawaii, dude.
Nah?
No.
It's on the island with Honolulu and Pearl Harbor and stuff like that. But it's like all the eyes can see just dull, the big pineapple field. But there's fields and hills of this pineapple. And they have like, you know, full security on that because people jump in there and try to get pineapples all the time. It's just ridiculous what they got over there. As far as the eye can see, just pineapple.
That's pretty cool. I could go for some pineapple right now.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, when people text you or when you text people, do you always misunderstand their sarcasm?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not put pound BS behind my sentence?
Pound BS?
That's what I'm putting behind, because whenever I talk to people on Facebook, on text, on Twitter, whatever, they always misunderstand what I'm saying. Like, oh, this is a really interesting conversation right now. What do you have to say next? I was like, and then they keep on talking. Like, I don't want them to keep on talking.
Okay.
I'm kind of being sarcastic, and they don't get that because I can't, you know, there's no inflection on the internet.
So pound BS?
Pound, like a hashtag on Twitter. Pound BS. Pound behind space, because behind space is sarcastic.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, see how easy that is? Three keystrokes, that's all you need.
I always thought you were just an asshole.
Nope, I'm sarcastic. Anyways, kids, pound BS on the end of your sarcastic sentence. It works for me, it'll work for you.
Are you suffering from a sore throat?
Are you suffering from too much beer? Are your balls itchy in your taint area?
Have you been sucking too much cock lately?
Do your armpits smell like lavender?
Do you suffer from itchy ass syndrome?
Do you have an irrational fear of trolls?
Have you experienced diarrhea? Or speaking of the mouth, are you bleeding right now?
Are you seeing double right now? Do you know I'm watching you right now?
Are you hearing this voice right now? You could be suffering from behind space syndrome.
You could have an irrational love of electronic music and knocking beats. Now available to everybody, Behind Space Music. All you gotta do is listen to it 5 times a day. So just slap on your headphones and lay back and trip out.
The only cure for behind space syndrome. Side effects may include joyness, happiness, mass marijuana intake,
propensity for malt liquor,
coming in the pants, uncontrollable heart palpitations.
Go to your nearest Google machine and type in www.behindspacemusic.com.
And then ask yourself, why did I type www into a search engine?
Don't worry, just hop on your AOL account and go up to your dial-up modem, and it'll come right up.
And we're back. How's it going, guys? You like the commercial? That's cool. What's going on, Jeff? Any
That's
current events?
Cool. current events, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got any news stories or what's going on in your life? Anything?
Yeah, actually, October 31st of this year, 2011, We Divided by Design hit number 2 on the charts on Roadrunner Records .com. Yeah.
Oh shit. So that was cool. Mazel tov.
Yeah, I woke up to like a crap load of emails.
So that was whenever cool. You get a vote, you get an email kind of thing.
It was different reviews and, you know, like stuff like that, notices and stuff. So yeah, that was cool. And then also, I've been listening to we've talked about him, I think the last episode and the episode before that, but he's our close friend, Mike Harriman, and you do the work for him as far as like on this end.
I try to do a fair amount of promotion for his podcast
over on the States. Yeah, he does a podcast, Haitian Cast.
Yeah, he's over in the country of Haiti right now. He's there for 2 more weeks. No, 3 more weeks. He's over there doing music. He's teaching kids, you know, music theory, chorus. He's doing mainly chorus because he doesn't have really access to a lot of instruments down there. Like, he actually bought, because it's kind of hard to bring a piano over, you know, over the Caribbean or whatever, obviously. So he bought a roll-up piano, like the one you can just fit in your bag or whatever, and it busted out on him in, like, the first week or so. So he's just teaching kids, you know, their scales, their chords, and stuff like that. He's aiming for a choir kind of thing. He downloaded a bunch of music, and he's transposing a lot of classical music, teaching it in that, and stuff like that. Really cool. And he has a podcast going on right now where he's kind of telling everybody the ins and outs of his day-to-day life, his adventures, his misadventures, all that stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah, you asked me about the currents, mofo.
Well,
we just hop right in. I was about to give you props for helping him out, and then you jump right in with talking about me acting all
he's posh, dude. He's not your friend.
For that, dude?
Yeah.
Good Lord. That was a... Go back and count how long that rant was.
Not long enough.
Like I was saying, he's doing the Haitian Cast, and like he's been out in Haiti for a while. Like Aaron said, he's doing the class and stuff, but the Haitian Cast is really, really good, so we suggest going over and checking that out. It's not on Stitcher right now, so if you're listening to us on that, like, maybe it'll get on there soon, but
if you check our links, it'll be on there.
It's over on iTunes, though, so check it out. It's the one with the weird dude with the bandana on the front.
Yeah, and he's got that shit-eating grin on his face. Yeah.
But it's really good, and, like, he's gone through a lot of struggle there, and, like, in the short time that he's been there, he's going through some major shit right now, but it makes for some really, really good podcast listening. It's fucked up.
It's the literal window into his world.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what episode you're on, but like I don't know if you heard, but like he broke his toe and he's limping around everywhere he goes. And like, he's having like his medication gives him these crazy dreams.
Yeah.
So much so that like he wrote me today and said that he went to go get his medication changed. It's still not helping, but he's, like, really fucked up so much that he's, like, confused about when he's awake and when he's asleep, you know?
Yeah, because like, it's anti-malaria, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were jumping through some hoops before he left, and, yeah.
But he's really going through some shit right now. It's really affecting him, so he's trying to get up his latest episode. He's on episode 7, but go give him some love, give him reviews and ratings and stuff, because it's a good podcast, and like, it's obviously our friend, our close friend. We wish him the best, and he always gives you a shout out at the end of every episode. So we'll definitely, you know, want to give him a good, solid shout-out on our show.
And when he gets back, his ass is going to be in that seat right next
to
you.
He'll definitely be a guest as soon as he gets back.
And he's coming back for Thanksgiving. So. Yeah,
well, he got offered some crazy stuff in the last episode on episode 6, I believe.
Man, I haven't listened to that one
cast
yet.
That, you know, he may be staying there a little bit longer than planned or going back for a long period of time. Yeah. So
He loves it down there.
Like, he does,
he's been waiting to go down for a while.
Yeah, he does, but he's in like some crazy situations right now. So like I said, we're wishing the best for him. So hopefully everything starts looking better on his end.
But like, it's not exactly. I mean, he knew it was not going to be stable coming in, but you know, he's either way, he's he kind of likes that change.
He's a strong dude, yeah. So that's he's the right guy for the job, that's for sure. Other than that, as far as like current events go, still you can I'll give my band a plug. Divided by Design, our album's still available and will be available. It's Mars, available on divided by design.com or iTunes, Amazon,
Bandcamp, Spotify, all that
stuff. We just released it on all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know if it's on Spotify yet, but
I think last night you checked and it wasn't.
I don't think it was. I think that was a playlist of a friend of ours.
It needs time to what's it called? Propagate through the system.
Yeah. But that's out there, so go pick it up and help us out. It's only
some good shit.
I think it's like $3.89 or something on iTunes. Really? And then it's less than that through our website. So go through our website or through Bandcamp and get it for cheap.
DividedByDesign.com.
Yeah. And then other than that, it's pretty bleak as far as current events go for me. I haven't really read anything lately.
Neither have I, really.
It's been a quick 2 weeks since the last podcast.
I mean, let me come to think of it. Has anything really big happened? No, not really.
We do brush over things that happen, but
yeah,
I think we covered at least Halloween, which is pretty much the biggest thing that's happened in the last 2 weeks.
I got a new job.
Yeah.
And I have a job interview tomorrow. I might be working for the Apple Store, so that should be interesting.
And your new job is with like tech?
Yeah, it's a PC tech place, but they fix whatever, you know, cell phones, tablets, TVs, Xboxes, PS3, stuff like that. So it's really fun. All the guys there are pretty chill. It's really laid back. They're computer people, so computer people are naturally like...
They fix handheld systems?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I see a couple of, not busted up PSPs, but I see a lot of open PSPs there. So they fix it. They do their own soldering, stuff like that. So
I'm going to be sending some tech your way.
Gotcha, man. Yeah, dude, it's really chill because, you know, I like working. It's one of those things it's like working on music. You just kind of dive in and you kind of just get lost and stuff. So it's a good job day in, day out.
You just pick your project or what?
Well, no, my boss picks my project. But when I get a little bit my feet under myself and, you know, get more experience, then, yeah, I was like, all right, I got to take care of this and I got to take care of this. But I'm kind of low on the totem pole right now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Apple Store, which I'm not gonna, you know, knock on wood, but that's gonna be the opposite, where it's gonna be, you know, every day
busy all the time.
I mean, shit, it's an Apple Store. You go there on a Tuesday afternoon, there's gonna be 100.
You'll be working what, at the Genius Bar or whatever?
Not yet. No, they put me on the floor first.
Oh, okay.
And then
you gotta work yourself up to become a genius.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Which I want to do, obviously, because, you know, dealing with people is a lot different than dealing with computers. But, yeah, it should be fun, though. It's a fucking job. I'll take a job anywhere.
I hear that. Unless people want to buy our music and make us... I don't think our music's for sale anywhere, but...
No, but it will.
Our next album will be.
It will be, yeah. I expect to be a millionaire off of it. I'm going to be disappointed in all y'all.
And it's... Well, we're going to price it for, what, $1 million?
Yeah, it's going to be...
So, if we sell one record, we should be set for... At least a little while.
And we got that formula that guy told us, so we know how to make a hit.
That's right.
We're all good.
That's for sure, man.
But, yeah, you know what? Since you just pulled your plugs for your band, I'm going to pull some plugs for our band. It's behindspacemusic.com, which is like a, what's it called? A hub for everything else what we have in the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Podomatic for this podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud, which we were talking about last night. All of our stuff's on there. All of our stuff's on Reverb Nation, but it's...
Are the podcasts on SoundCloud too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nah, it's... Ours is just on Reverb, Podomatic, iTunes. But iTunes...
Stitcher.
Stitcher. But that's streaming, so it's not... Well, it is on there.
I like Stitcher, man. That's where I listen.
I've never
Stitcher, if you want to sponsor this podcast, feel free. Because I love your service. But I will say, I had Stitcher, and I updated, and I lost... I was up to, like, 180-something hours of listening time, and then I lost my little meter that said how many hours I've listened to. So, I listen to a lot of friggin' podcasts.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, I mean, I've never used it. How does it work?
It's just a hub that... it's like a radio station for your podcast. So
you have your queue. It's like Netflix where you have your queue and you kind of like, I have this podcast in my queue. It's like, and then so if you just listen to Stitcher, it's like a radio station where like this episode comes up, then this episode comes up, and this episode.
Exactly.
Comes up. All right.
Yeah, and like you can check recent episodes or similar shows. Okay. And it'll show you like shows that are on the same network.
So it's like a, it's like a Venn diagram between podcasts on one end and radio on the other. It's kind of the middle ground, right?
But
there.
There's been a lot of debate about Stitcher also, because people say, because like they do advertising on Stitcher itself, and since they do the advertising on there, they are, and they're taking free RSS feeds. It's like they're taking somebody else's product and making money on it.
Yeah.
So some people are anti-Stitcher. I don't want to name names, but there's definitely been people that have made it known that they don't like that company because of that reason. For me, it's like we're already offering our show for free. If somebody wants to put it on something that they're making money on,
for the majority of podcasters, it does. But there's a lot of, like you're saying, there's a lot of people that rely on podcasting as a revenue stream, because they're the ones that
if our show was the number one show on Stitcher,
well, yeah,
then maybe I'd hit up Stitcher and ask for a little kickback, you know, because they're getting advertising dollars off of my numbers. But
of course,
I don't think we're pulling huge numbers on Stitcher like we are on iTunes, like our thousands of viewers on iTunes, subscribers or
what's
whatever.
What's going on, guys?
I just think that overall, Stitcher is a cool service, and I don't think that they're doing... I think that what they're doing may be a little underhanded, but overall, depending on how much they're paying out to some podcasts, hopefully they're paying some.
Yeah, well, it's a relatively new media thing, so they're figuring the artist and the podcasters and them are kind of figuring out a business model that's good for everybody.
Yeah. Would you sell out and take a sponsor?
Depends on the sponsor.
Yeah.
If it's something I use or something I have no moral objections to, then why not?
All right. That's how I feel. We already have one sponsor.
Yeah. But I'm not going to be advertising for like defense contractors or nothing like
that. Yeah.
Or no politicking shit, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't want to put, saddle up to that shit.
Our one sponsor, the DFTA clothing. Don't feed the animals. Like, they're the guy who owns a company or whoever is running their, internet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, man. Like, Divided by Design, he's still pumping our stuff. And like the guys, for some reason, decided, because he was interested in promoting with us, with the band. And for some reason, a few of the guys didn't want to go along with it.
Yeah.
And it's not that they had anything against the company. They just didn't want to
go along with it. It was more of a, not a moral thing, but it was kind of like a, it's a, from what I understood, I'm not a mind reader, but it was like, if we do this right here, what's next? It's like a slippery slope. But to me, at least, it was like, it's harmless at the end of the day, because you it's not selling out. It's fucking...
Well, yeah. Like, to me, it's if I like the product, and I think we talked last time, I like their shirts. I like their clothing. So it'll be interesting to see, like their new lines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I like supporting cool little businesses.
Exactly, because we're a small group. They're a small business. But at this point, we got to help each other out.
But the guy's already shown that he's cool as hell, because he's like still promoting Divided by Design and stuff like that. So I think that's just upstanding. I think that more businesses. I love the small business aspect. That you can just kind of be more one on one. I love that about the internet too. I'm able to like reach out to some people, talk to the lead singer of Autopilot.
Oh, yeah?
And that was a really cool experience for me, because he's like one of my main influences, and he's sitting there commenting on my album, and that's just, I don't know, it's cool that you can do that these days.
Yeah, it's cool, the wide reach of the internet, where it's like everybody's connected kind of thing. It is a double-edged sword with the whole anonymity, people naturally spout shit they wouldn't say in person.
Yeah.
But you gotta find
out. There's people that just pose as other people, may run into somebody who says they are somebody that they're not.
Yeah, that's the anonymity kind of part of it. And then there's also the all encompassing trolls that just roam the internet, try to piss people off.
Yeah.
But they usually do that in real life. So, those kind of people are everywhere. That's the one thing I don't like about the internet. People, like, if you look at a, like a, comment sections on YouTube, you find the most vile, fucking hateful shit in the world.
Yeah, I always like to scroll down to the comments and see what shitheads our population are, because mm-hmm. you scroll down from any, like, decent video, and like, you see the first, like, most racist comment or messed up comment. At least they're starting to combat that by, like, putting the most popular comment at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, like, at least they started implementing that.
Also, a lot of websites are requiring registration, like, putting down your email address and stuff. Like, if I know the websites I look at before, it'd be like, you know, 200 comments for a post or whatever. And as soon as they implement a new commenting system with that kind of stuff, with registration and whatever, you see the comments drop by like 50%. Because people, you know.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to be held accountable. Yeah. I think that as we move forward, you're going to see that a lot of people are going to be held accountable for their actions on the internet. Like those people that, I don't know if we talked about that. Maybe we did the whole Scarlett Johansson thing.
Oh yeah, dude's going to jail for a while.
Yeah, he got busted, and a few other people got busted. The people that did it to PlayStation, they got caught.
Yeah, those are the shitty hackers. Like Anonymous.
Whoa, don't talk shit about hackers. Hackers, no, I love you.
I was about to talk about the Anonymous hackers, the guy who brings down the Defense Department, and they're talking
Anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. And then like they're trying to hack. They said they're going to attack Fox News, and then they just put out a video where they're going to start attacking Mexican drug cartels. Which I have no problem with Mexican drug cartels. Well, I do.
We have no problem with anybody that can hurt us physically or digitally.
Viva la raza.
Peace. That's what we like to live.
But yeah, anyways, stand for. That's a revolution spirit. You want a revolution. Internet needs a revolution. Everybody needs
Internet's a revolution.
It's true, but it also needs a mini revolution inside of that.
A lot of them, yeah.
But you know that's true for everything. Yeah. Like we were saying before, everything you need to flip it on your head and you know do opposite, whatever. I think it was who was it? It was Thomas Jefferson. He had a good quote: "Every generation needs a new revolution," or something like that. It's a good quote to live by.
Yeah,
it's a good one. I like it. I mean, he might have been Thomas Jefferson, but you know whatever.
Yeah, had a good name.
You can dig on that. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, what have you seen lately? What have you listened to lately?
I listen to a lot of bands, but nothing that I'm particularly thrilled with.
Well, I've
been on like a music drought lately. I was telling you earlier, I can't find anything that's decent. If you guys know any decent music that's in the vein of rock, that's not known necessarily, send it to me.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm just on a drought. But TV movies and stuff, I've seen a few things lately.
All right. Like what?
I watched the newest episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
It was good. A little weird. And it's definitely getting more soap opera-ish. Like
weird in what way?
It had a cliffhanger. It was just one of those things.
What's like the third episode of the season?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just the way that they write.
Sometimes good TV shows have cliffhangers in the middle of the season. It's kind of like to, you know, mix things up. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, I like cliffhangers at the end of seasons. But then in perpetuity, I'm like, Fuck what happened next. You can't wait a year for most TV shows. I mean, if you're on network, you're gonna wait, you know, 8 months or whatever. But
I'm dying on some Breaking Bad right now.
Exactly. I wanna know what happens. Like on HBO shows, you gotta wait a whole year. I'm waiting for Game of Thrones, wait forever.
Yeah, never got into that one yet.
Yeah, you should watch it.
I'll wait till there's a new season to watch, and then I'll get into it.
You gotta, that way
I don't have to wait with you and deal with it.
Yeah, it is only 10 episodes, but that is like...
If I knew better, I would have waited to watch Breaking Bad until like a year from now when it was complete.
But I think you did it right, because you railroaded the first three seasons, and then you jumped on the fourth. And you caught up by the time that the finale got there. So yeah. I think you were pretty good, and it was a good arc.
Oh, man. But what a good show.
I hear from a lot of people that that's the best way to watch shows, is back to back to back.
That's how I like watching shows.
That's how I watch Battlestar Galactica, which was, as we've talked about
before. That's how I watch American Pickers.
Ice Road Truckers?
Not Ice Road Truckers, dude. American Pickers. Oh, yeah. Wholesome family show.
Yeah? What are they picking?
They just go to houses and pick out old stuff.
It's like, really?
Yeah, you've never seen that show?
No.
They just go to people's houses. They're like these two dudes. Walk up. They've got a list of stuff that they buy. And then they go into houses and, like, you know, like haggle with the people about a price to buy different stuff.
Do the people know they're coming?
No. They just... Well, some people will call and, like, set up an appointment. But they'll just go, like, freestyle. And they, like, drive out. They'll see, like, a car for sale pull into the house. And then, like... give the person the list and be like, you have anything else? And they find the cool thing about the show is not so much like the, what they're doing as much as like the people that you get to see. Cause there's some crazy ass people in that show.
I bet. It was like a bunch of hoarders or like just random.
Yeah, dude. Like there's one where this guy has a whole underground complex that he's built by hand. And like, there's just like, there's all these characters of people, you know, that you would just never believe are out there. Another guy who decided to build a whole mini city on his property
where they're like, just like a Lego city kind of thing.
No, they're driving down the street and they're like, oh, there's a Newcastle. I didn't know they had those out here or something like that. And so they get closer and then they realize that it's not a Newcastle. It's just a Newcastle building that's in front of somebody's house. So then they stop there. The dude takes him out back and he's got a whole city, a jailhouse, a little market store, like he had built this whole city and he's not the first to do that. There's multiple people on the show that have done that. They just like literally take buildings and put them on their property. So it's just cool as hell to see all these different people and they go around and buy signs and different things that they can turn into antiques and sell them on their website and stuff.
Sweet. So it's like a on the road antiques road show.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I never watched that show, but from what I understand,
that's been around forever. Like PBS or something like that.
Yeah, from what I understand, that's pretty much what they do.
Like, hey, this vase is worth $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah,
it's kind of like Pawn Stars too, you know, to where they just kind of just show up to your house and pawn stuff because they're gonna resell it. They're not looking to just buy it.
Yeah.
So they don't buy stuff at like top dollar. They'll come in and pay you about half of what it's worth.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been getting back into Hulu lately, trying to see what's up. I've been watching a lot of what's it called? Watch Terra Nova today. The dinosaur show.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I didn't see it before today. I was just bored, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch something. It's people are from the future, like the 22nd century, and they go back in time 85 million years to the dinosaur times, and they build a colony because the Earth and the future is all bad because the weather and pollution and stuff like all that. Right. They're all wearing masks.
No spoilers, because this sounds good.
I only watched the pilot, so okay. I have nothing past
so
that.
Is it good or what? It sounds badass.
It does sound badass, but it's like you're saying before about the other show, it's too soap opera-y.
Okay. It's like is it like Lost?
No, it's not really.
Lost was pretty epic. At some point.
The thing is, Lost was really insulated when it comes to the survivors. Like, there's like cast of like 10 characters. So you got to, you know, you got an episode for this person. This is like a full community. And also, there's like a small family dynamic that they focus on. And the family dynamic is what messes me up.
Okay.
Like, there's a teenager there that every single time he talks, I want to throw my computer across the wall, to the wall. So it was like, but the dinosaurs are cool, so I'll watch it. Like, okay. I like Jurassic Park, why not?
Yeah. Aren't they making another one?
I heard that. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be good or not.
Did you see the Ghostbusters poster in the theaters?
You trolling me? But actually, I kind of turned off Terra Nova with like 20 minutes ago. I was like, fuck this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm gonna come back and watch it. But at that time, I was like, it was good, but it was like, not grab a hold of you. You have to watch what's coming up next kind of thing. Because I kind of saw what was coming up next.
Gotcha.
Like, all right. These guys are lost. The dinosaurs are going to start chasing them. they're almost going to get eaten by dinosaurs, and then they're going to get saved by the big guy with the beard. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a TV show, you know. Yeah. It might be on me. I might know, watch so much TV, I know what the fuck's going to happen. But with Breaking Bad or The Wire, you have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm ready to start a new show, but I can't really think of anything that would be all that great to start watching.
Watch The Wire again, man.
I can't just continue to watch the same thing over and over and over. That's a good show, though.
You pick up new things.
If there's one to do,
every single
one to rewatch, that's it.
Every single time you pick up something new.
Mm. I'm looking for something to watch, though, that's new.
Have you ever watched Rome? It's not exactly new, but...
No, I never watched that. That's on HBO?
Yeah, it was two seasons. I have some behind you right there. But it's a good show. It's
Rome. Got HBO Go, so I think
there
they
you
got
go.
The full
yeah, dude,
run
search
over.
It up and see if you like it. It's really, I mean, new show wise. I'll talk. This is what I've been watching too. It's Homeland. It's on Showtime.
All right.
Let's see. This guy was a sniper for the Marines. He gets caught by, Al Qaeda and stuff like that, and he gets rescued. But there's also a CIA agent who thinks he's a mole. So it's a big cat and mouse game between him. He just got home from being eight years in captivity, and they think he's turned. And the CIA agent's fucking batshit crazy. What's her face from My So-Called Life? Claire Danes.
Huh. Okay.
So she's hunting this guy, and it's the other guy. And it's like a cat and mouse game. It's kind of like a character study. And it's not too, politically... leaning or motivated or
gotcha, yeah.
it's not heavy-handed with their political leanings, like, you know, 24 was, you know, right-wing torture.
No, I never watched 24.
I watched the last two seasons.
They've got the full run on Netflix. I thought about watching.
They have a full run on Netflix, really?
Yeah, the full run.
Damn, that's like eight seasons.
Yeah,
shit.
It looks interesting.
I mean, it was all right, but it's like 24 episodes in a season, so there's a lot of things. Oh, we have, like, we're in the middle of this. Oh, we write yourself out into a corner, or you fix it in episode 6, and it's like a totally new thing.
Was that you and me that went to be in the music video that dude
Keith,
directed?
Oh, yeah, that was us. It was a Lifehouse, correct?
It was Keith, what is that dude's name?
Keith Sutherland?
Yeah.
He was the director of the video we were at. We were in
Kiefer, right?
Kiefer.
Yeah,
Keith,
I think that's it.
Like Keith, the shit on the bottom. Yeah, all right, yeah. It was a Lifehouse video. He was directing it. He was wearing jeans and a little white t-shirt with a cowboy hat.
Chain smoking.
Was it a cowboy hat or was it like a straw hat?
Yeah, no, he was wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, and that guy, he was chain smoking. He was a little guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was like 5'6", maybe a buck 30, buck 20. Like, he was skinnier than me.
Yeah, most TV stars are pretty small.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise is like 5'7" or something like that.
Yeah, well, and the one that I always go back to is the dude from Back to the Future. What's his
name?
Michael J. Fox.
But you kind of knew he was short.
Oh, man. There's a great episode of, I know you don't watch it, but Curb Your Enthusiasm with Michael J. Fox, man, where they play off of his syndrome.
Parkinson's, yeah. Well, they have
And,
that.
Man, it is hilarious. Like, they really do.
Well, he has a great sense of humor about it. And he's, like, totally serious. He's serious as in, like, he's for the cause. And he's, like, he kind of works through it. Like, if he's on Leno or Letterman or something, he'll try to have a full conversation. You'll see him shaking. But he has a total sense of humor about it. So it's kind of endearing. Like, he was on.
Yeah.
If you
like Michael J. Fox, just go and watch that episode of Curb, because, like, it's friggin' awesome.
And he was on Rescue Me as well.
Really?
Yeah, he was on there. He was in a wheelchair, so it was kind of different. But he was like one of those, like, hard drug taking, you know, banging chicks kind of thing. It was kind of funny. But
been a resurgence of, like, these older men that come back to play these crazy characters.
Yeah.
Like on Community with Chevy Chase.
Yeah. And
what's some other ones?
John Goodman on Community.
Yeah, he came back to play a crazy character.
He's playing John Goodman, actually. Like, he's like playing the guy from Bill Gabaski. I forgot his name. You know, Mark and Zero. Over the line.
A similar character, yeah. And then there's Frank from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, Dan DeVito. Dan DeVito's in the new Dr. Seuss movie.
Is he?
Yeah, he's I saw a couple of days ago.
I did see the commercial for but that too.
Lorax. He's, Danny DeVito's playing Lorax. So every single time Lorax thinks, it was like, Frank Reynolds. Oh, fuck. This guy should be like doing crack and
banging. There's just a lot of these same, you know, that same kind of character coming back into play. That's pretty cool. Other than that, I haven't really seen much. I'm trying to think
any movies or anything in particular.
Not that I can remember off the top of my head. I've been just busy, man.
Yeah, I hear that. I haven't seen any movies, I don't think.
I saw Red State. Did I talk about that on the podcast yet?
You told it to me, but...
Yeah, I finally saw Red State, which is Kevin Smith's newest movie.
It's like a horror movie or something.
It's, if you ask me, it's his attempt to make an indie gore porn movie. So, like, his attempt to make an indie...
Saw.
Yeah, kind of.
Hostel.
It's more Tarantino than, like, Quentin Tarantino than...
Would Tarantino be torture porn?
Well, think of like, Tarantino's early work. It's very indie, you know, like Pulp Fiction.
It's, like, and stylized?
It's just, like, different and weird and, like Jackie Brown, did he do that one?
Yeah. That was a good movie.
And it doesn't really have a... It's got a storyline, but not a huge one. It's just a period piece of, like, them, like, doing stuff for a period of time, you know? So, like, there was no story to this movie.
Was the script and, like, what people were saying to each other was really stylized and kind of, like, they're speaking, like, very rhythmically and stuff like that?
You kind of would expect it to be, but it's Kevin Smith, so...
Yeah, so it's kind of dry.
Sounds like you and me talking shit.
It's like bam, bam, bam joke or, like, kind of just line reading. Yeah, because, like, Tarantino, Tarantino's, like, a little bit more... musical or with the cadence, with the
it was weird because it felt like a mix between that and a Kevin Smith movie, to be honest. So, like, there was, like, violence and stuff like that, but it all really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like,
the violence for violence.
You know, the
sake.
First time you saw Dust Till Dawn, you were like, at the end, you're like, what the fuck did I just see? Like, I don't know. When I saw Dust Till Dawn, I didn't know it was a vampire movie, so I really got thrown for a loop.
That movie was kind of off.
Because for the first, at least, like, what, 20 minutes, you don't know that it's vampires.
It's true, yeah.
You're just like, what the fuck at that point?
I think at the point when the guy busted out his revolver on his crotch, that's when I was like, what the fuck is... Who directed that again?
Was it that one? I thought it was when he, like, blew his... a hole in his hand and he was like looking through his hand was the first piece of real gore.
Yeah, no, that was that. I remember that. That was Tarantino, I think, blew his hand. Or George Clooney. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I just remember, what's that guy's name? I forgot his name. The guy with the black hair. He had a revolver as his dick and he had two things of bullets.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it was Fred Williamson, who was an old school 70s football player. He was the big black guy. It's like, that guy's playing? That guy's playing for the Chiefs. Cool, man.
Yeah, but Red State was like, you know, this really... I definitely would not compare it to those movies as far as, like, writing-wise, because those movies are actually good. Like, in my opinion, this movie was pretty terrible. Like, it took the two things that I hate about movies and put them together, which is religion and violence. So, like, it was the two things that I dislike about movies. Other people love that stuff about movies, so it could be your favorite movie ever if you like those things. But it didn't have much of a storyline. It was a little bit preachy, like you had kind of... said in the past, I don't think you said on the podcast, but you had said in the past that, like, him making the subtle commentary with just the title Red State was
like a cheap ploy for the, like, oh, Red State, well, there's a church and there's violence, so it must be, you know.
Yeah, and he claims that it's not really that, which is, you know, that's his thing. I mean, maybe he doesn't, but the movie itself feels... It's obviously about religion, so it seems a little preachy, but there's huge preaching scenes. But it just seems like he's definitely having his commentary on, like, that family that preaches.
The Westboro people. I read the story.
It's just pretty much, you know, a crazy film about them to me, it's a stone dude who came up with an idea in his head and then wrote it down, and it actually became a movie. And he actually got some decent actors in it, which is crazy. Sean Goodman's in it.
Yeah.
And he plays a part where, like, he comes in, like, a little bit into the storyline, and then his part feels written in, like... Mm.
So they shot it after they shot
everything else. There's a huge gunfight, man. A huge gunfight. And the police or the FBI or somebody's on the phone with them, and they're like, you handle that situation. Like, they're pretty much telling them to kill everybody in the house, even though they're, like, kids and stuff like that. And it's like, there's just a huge amount of unbelievability to the movie, and there's not much of a storyline. I really can't say much positive stuff about the movie, honestly, other than maybe the cast was pretty good. The actors in it were good. Michael Parks did a great job. I'd love to see him in some better roles.
Who?
Michael Parks, who played like the crazy leader. He did all the preaching.
I've seen
the picture.
I think I've seen the picture of the guy for the Red State like promotion.
He's in From Dusk Till Dawn in the first little bit. I think he might be the dad.
Harvey Keitel was the dad.
I can't remember who he was, but he's in the first beginning part of that movie.
Huh. Well, anyways.
Yeah. Fact check it if you want. Whatever.
All right. Well, yeah, Dust of Dawn was a good movie.
No, Red State sucked.
Oh, anyway, what I did
see... That was the point.
The thing is, I didn't see many movies this week, but I did see Pulp Fiction this week.
Watch that?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where it's on, I'll watch it. Same thing with any Tarantino movie. If it's on, I'll watch it. It's cool. I also watched...
I'm not much for Tarantino.
Really?
I like those older movies, but he's become a character of himself.
Yeah, it's true.
And I feel like that started with like Kill Bill.
I never got into Kill
Bill.
Over
the top.
Man. I think. I like the action scenes.
What was the Nazi movie that came out after?
That was good.
I watched it. I wasn't impressed. But once again, violence.
It's true.
To me, you really have to have solid writing for me to enjoy your movie if it's going to have violence in it.
That movie had a lot of weird cuts, like edit points. Like, that's just the way the very auteur directors do it. I mean, that's not just him. I mean, I've seen Scorsese. Spielberg doesn't have that style, but I've seen Scorsese, like the heavy stylized artistic directors. They do a lot of those like weird cuts.
Still hearing people have mad reviews, like good reviews about Drive.
Yeah, it is. But you gotta see it, man.
But that's the thing, is all I hear about it is that it's really good and the violence is awesome. So
yeah,
for me, that's not necessarily the greatest review. Like, right. And they say that there's not much of a storyline and there's not much of a dialogue.
Well, yeah, that's just the way the film is shot, and that's the way the characters play it. But I think to the point of the violence, though, and the violence is very dynamic, where it kind of jumps in, and then it's quiet. And then it jumps in, and I think that's the way the director wanted it. I haven't seen Red State, so I don't know, but it's not like torture porn, where it's like violence, 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 violence. It just kind of comes in, and it comes out. It's just part of that story. It's that what that character would do.
Yeah.
Because that character was quiet and very monotone, but he was batshit crazy. Just the way they wrote it.
I watched the first 20 minutes of Troll 2.
Oh, yeah. Hey, keep on hearing good things about that. It's good.
That's what I thought. I heard some good stuff about it, but the reviews are way more outstanding than the movie itself. It's a joke movie on itself, you know?
It's like meta?
Yeah, exactly. It's a spoof on itself, but they play it real, you know? Kind of like Spinal Tap.
Mm.
So, like, it's a mockumentary, yeah, but done in the style of Blair Witch Project. So they're trying to like do their play on that, and then there's these giant like CG trolls.
Yeah, I've seen those.
So that's kind of where it leads to. So I turned it off because it wasn't what I was expecting. Yeah. If I go back in that mindset, knowing what I'm getting into, I may enjoy it.
Well, what do you think about like that meta style, but what do you think about meta art in general, like art that turns in on itself and kind of like talks about itself? Or
I don't mind it if there's some kind of decent commentary there.
Because like I think we talked about it before, like maybe not on the podcast, but like Community It's like, that was a TV comedy. Yeah, that's I love like, that. That's like mega meta. We're like, they're okay, we're on a TV show right now. Like, what do you think about this TV trope that we're doing right now? They break down the fourth wall a million times over.
To me, Community is the same way that, and I watched this last night, Treehouse of Horrors is, you know, it's like a spoof after a spoof after a spoof.
Yeah, but
and like they're just doing these, you know, versions of stuff that we already know.
But not all the time. Like the two episodes ago, the Community, they did the seven parallel timelines. That was totally original and pure
character. It's not, dude. That's not original at all. It's the same thing as when you look at an episode of Simpsons and think it's original. Like, that was an episode of Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. Twilight Zone's Twilight Zone, though.
But what I'm saying is that episode of Community was an episode of Twilight Zone where all those things took place practically, except for they wrapped their story into it. But
it wasn't like a direct spoof like... you know, their paintball episode was of Die Hard.
Yeah, it was whatever. of an episode of that other show.
I never saw that.
Well, and that's the same thing. Like I grew up and I saw the Simpsons episode of The Shining before
I was a Treehouse of Horror 5.
Before I ever saw an episode of or saw the movie The Shining. So like I thought Simpsons came up with that idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so like when you watch Community and think that it's all original, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but to me it's good storytelling.
It's good character.
And it's stuff that I think like TGIF, you remember that back in the day? Yeah, it was a lineup of like all family fun TV shows and like they would have the same exact storylines on all those shows, just different weeks.
But the thing is, as of right now on TV, there's nothing like Community.
But there's stuff like TGIF, which is like Cleveland Show, Family Guy, American Dad, and Simpsons. Those four are like TGIF from back in the day, to where they all have the same exact storylines going in different weeks and all have the same set of characters, same different situational, you know, like, but then there's shows like Community where they switch it up and kind of pull from older stuff or make, you know,
I think they push and pull a lot where not every single episode's like spoof, 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 or homage, 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 homage.
I think I'd say the bulk of them are, and it's just
That's just their style. But
to me, the fun of an episode of Community is trying to figure out what they're spoofing, because they're always spoofing something every episode.
I don't think so.
I will bet you $100.
What? How are you going to know?
We'll go through and we'll find... If you can find any episode where they don't spoof something, I'll give you 100 solid American dollars.
$2,000. I don't know. I don't think so, but that's a agree to disagree kind of thing.
I'm offering you a $100 bet right here on the show, my friend.
All right. Fine. The second episode...
It'll be a while before we get to find out, but I mean, if anybody actually knows, or if we can find out on a Wikipedia page or something.
Well, the thing is, maybe because I am a very, satire. I grew up watching a lot of TV, so I get a lot of jokes. Maybe because I don't laugh at a lot of shit. That's the only show I laugh at. Parks and Rec, I'll laugh at that because Ron Swanson's the man. But like comedy wise, there's not a lot of good out there.
No, Community's awesome.
I'm talking about it on a bigger scale, though. Like, comedy in general is a lot harder to nail than it is for drama.
Yeah, and it depends. To me, like, you can put a shit comedy on, like, 2.5 Men, and it can do great, though.
Yeah, and like, when people look at me, have you guys watched the new 2.5 Men with Ashton Kutcher? And I don't want to talk shit to you right now, but you're fucking stupid. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's a culture. People, it's the lowest common denominator. People, when they get home from work, they don't want to think about what they're watching. They just want to melt in front of the TV.
I think we've talked about that too.
That's perfectly all right. I mean, entertainment's entertainment. But on a wine sniffing artistic level, that's our bag.
Yeah, definitely. What they do is, you know, I love the fact that they... It's the same thing as South Park. They do, like, you know, a lot of commentary on there that you don't... That you got to think about a little bit versus...
exactly.
Versus just mindlessly sitting there.
Yeah.
Brings up other subjects and you're like, wow, I can't believe
it. Well, I guess that I'm like that. If I'm watching the History Channel, they have like a documentary on, ancient Egypt. I'll just like...
They had a Breaking Bad reference in the Treehouse of Horrors last night.
Really?
Yeah, they had... can't remember what it was, but they had the whole scene where they were doing the A, B, C, D, ding. A, B, C, ding. That was awesome, man. So it was. I love those Treehouse of Horrors.
Because that's always the best one of the season.
That's the same thing. Is you just sit there and you try to figure out what they're trying to do a play on, you know.
And the Shining one, man. That's like the consensus.
That's
best.
A classic.
That's the best. Like to me, that's the best. That's the one I remember. Like every single tree. I mean,
the one I remember a lot is the, and it's not really known, but. The one where the dolphins take over.
There's
two dolphin episodes, and it always gets confused with another dolphin Treehouse of Horror, but the one where the dolphins actually come out of the water and start taking over because they're smarter. And we ended up watching like half of that episode once, and it's because I only got to see half of it once. That's why I will never forget it.
They almost got canceled this year, Simpsons.
Nah.
They got close. They didn't do it, but they got close.
Yeah, well, I heard there was just some disagreements. I don't know if they were necessarily ever in danger of getting canceled. Well, they may have thrown that out there.
It might have been a negotiation ploy.
That's from what exactly, because there was a lot of talk going on back and forth.
Yeah, I remember when it happened, the internet was a buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Simpsons has been on for, what, 25 years? Or 25 seasons, sorry.
Yeah.
89. So, you know, it's all gravy.
Yep.
It's all about the money. Speaking of all about the money, let's throw in some commercials or something at the end of this podcast.
That's fun, man.
Yeah, dude.
If you want to.
Dude,
we got a lot of sponsors, man.
Yeah, dude. Which one do you want to do this time? Yes. Like, we have a queue. We have like five.
We've got a few, man. But we'll call it a show if you like.
Call it a show?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
We're at 75?
Yeah. It's approximate. Yeah, we're good. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, man. That's fucking gravy. This is good.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll post this as a full episode, though.
We could. I've seen long ones before.
All right.
Anyways, so everybody... Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. BehindSpaceMusic.com. And when I slice like a goddamn hammer.
You've seen it before. And we'll do it again.
Booyah!